afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney. Lord have mercy. Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up, and I also need to put out there, I'm going to need me some type of audio technician or somebody to help me with the video or something, because me and these gadgets just do not get along sometimes. So, since I started a little late as I was punching numbers trying to get on and log on, so I want to get started with the show. Now, today's show is a very interesting topic because we're going to be talking about obtaining home ownership. Now, when we talk about obtaining home ownership, sometimes individuals, we talk about, you know, the American dream. Is it a dream? Is it a nightmare? Who can afford it? Who really wants it? How much work does it take? A lot of times, we get very confused, very frustrated, because when it comes to home ownership, many individuals, like I said, it can become intimidating. Individuals can become confused about the process of purchasing a home. Sometimes, like I said, it can seem like a blessing or it can seem like a curse. And finding someone to trust as one navigates through this process can present a whole host of other challenges. Now, the qualification process and the pre-approval process sometimes just don't seem fair, which is kind of what I was babbling about. But when one talks about obtaining the American dream, is it becoming impossible? How do one go about purchasing their first home, yet alone become a real estate investor or try to get rental property? Now, today on the show, I'm going to have two guests that are going to be talking about this. I see one already on, so let me log him on. Hello, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Fantastic. This is Joe Corvisito. How are you, Jeanette?
I am doing well. You know what? I don't never pronounce your last name right, so I was going to let you say your last name. But the only thing I do remember, you still got your jag.
Yeah,
you know you're in trouble with
that Jag.
You got rid of the Jag. You know I like that Jaguar. I still. Oh, you just dropped Joe. So Joe, you got to call me back because somehow your call dropped. So we're gonna wait for Joe to call back on the air because somehow his call dropped, and I know it wasn't on my end. I think it was on his end. So Joe, give us a call back. Now, when we talk about, okay, here's Joe.
No, for some reason.
Okay, Joe,
sorry,
your call dropped.
Went up. Yep.
Okay, Joe, tell the listeners who you are and what you do.
Right, my name is Joe Corbisiero. I've been in this business, which is called real estate, for about 12 years. Started in Rome, Italy. That's where I'm from. And I've done pretty much all the facets of the real estate, from property management to investment, and then representing buyers and sellers, representing investors, new building, and so on. So I've got a pretty good grasp of, the business, how the ups and downs of home ownership and the American dream, like we all call it. And I absolutely love what I do. I wouldn't know how to do anything else. I've been involved in this business for about 10 to 12 years now. And, I'm here to share what I think about what's going on here with the market, the perks of becoming a homeowner, and even, like, the negative things because nobody talks about it.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And it's good for the people to know not only the positive but the negative, because we get so caught up in commercials. We get so caught up in, you know, wanting to purchase a home and saving all of your money. And then some people, at one point, we had this flood where people were losing their homes and they were going into foreclosure. And then some individuals become very, very discouraged. Now, I'm looking at an article, and this article was actually posted in on June the 5th. And I know that many of the listeners that listen into my radio do not all live in California. Some live in other states, some live in other countries, and all across the world. So I'm not going to speak on what I don't know as it relates to other countries and what's going on in their market. Joe, you may have some information in regards to that, because that's not my specialty. But it's interesting. I tell people I'm a jack of all trades, because I remember at one point I went to school and I was studying real estate, and it was interesting. But I don't do well in sales, so that wouldn't work for me, because I'll be studying and telling them everything wrong with the house and stuff I shouldn't be telling and things of that nature. So I had to learn to stay in my lane. But I have an article, and it was indicated in Long Beach, rent control drive miss deadline for November ballot. Inglewood measures wait to qualify. Now, people over profit. Now, one of the reasons, and people have their own reasons sometimes of why they decide to own versus rent, which we can go into some of that. And one of the things, Joe, I found is some individuals have that mentality that some people are afraid to own property. They prefer to rent because they like the convenience of not having to do the home maintenance or, you know, living in an apartment. And sometimes, and it's no disrespect, but I call it, some people have what's called the project mentality, to where generation after generation after generation, that's how they live, and they think that that's the right thing to do. But one of the things that I'm looking at in regards to what's happening in Long Beach is it says Long Beach advocates didn't make their due date to get rent control initiative before the city voters on the November ballot, but they still have a shot to qualify for what's called subsequent election. Now, when we talk about rent control, Joe, can you tell us a little bit what that means? Because some individuals don't even understand, even when they're renting, let alone trying to purchase a home. So we can talk about the pros and the cons.
So rent control, that's been a buzz, actually, recently, especially in California. So I don't know if you've seen, but they're talking about the issue is going to probably add to the ballot. And, they're talking or trying to get implemented, especially here in San Diego. That's where the market, what I work on. So, what they're trying to do is give the cities, power to set the rent control as they come in. So it's kind of hard to, I think, to do something like that. So
uh-huh.
What they're trying to do with the act is to restore the authority of California cities to develop, local policies so you can't go over X amount, on rent. And they,
uh-huh.
The goal is to improve the quality of life of people in California, especially talking geographically here in San Diego. Is it going to go? Is it going to pass? Not. I don't know. We don't know. We know that, the rents in San Diego, and they've been growing rapidly. And, I've seen a talk about experience and what's going on in the market. I mean, the news tell you probably a little different, but if you're looking, I'll give an example, and it depends a lot on the geographic. So if you're looking into downtown San Diego, for instance, you might realize nowadays that there is a lot of inventory of properties for rent.
Mm-hmm.
And people are asking, why is that? And we're getting into a crisis, they're overbuilding. It's a little bit of both. I don't know if you've been in Little Italy recently, but they're building a lot of apartments there. And they're all luxury apartments. So the minimum coin to get into a Little Italy or downtown, I should say, a one-bedroom is going to cost you anywhere from $2,000 all the way to $3,400, depending on the building, for a one-bedroom.
Wow.
So what's happening in downtown, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And, Joe, I started off the show by talking about that's what made me purchase my first home in Oceanside. And actually, it's been 20 years since I've been in the house. Since now the whole house seemed like it's just freaking falling apart. First, I had a slab leak. Then Saturday, I came home. My daughter told me the hot water heater done went out. So I'm like, it's just one thing after another. But you know what? It made me purchase a home because when my rent went from $645 to $800, I said, the devil is a liar. I'm not going to pay that much money for rent. And then knowing if I can't pay my rent on the first and I'm 3 days behind, I get a 3-day notice. So it's
right.
A lot. To me, it was a lot of stress. So that's what made me start looking into trying to purchase a home. And I didn't have no money saved. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I thank God one of my friends at the time, my husband, was in real estate. So it helped me out a lot. But I went in it totally blind. And sometimes I wonder, how do people even afford rent? Because even to rent now, they do a credit check, they do a background check.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have three times the amount of the income, I mean, three times the amount of the rent. So even trying to qualify, I found that it was easier for me to qualify to buy a house than to qualify to try to rent a place. So what do you think in regards to that when we start talking about knowing the difference?
Well, I totally agree with you. And so if you look at the process of the pre-screening, we call it, to rent an apartment or rent a house, especially on the houses when you deal with the property management companies, it's really tough to get approved. You literally have to show enough income to cover the rent. Like you said, you have to make three times the rent amount, and it has to be shown. You have to be consistent with your income. You have to have a decent credit. Most of the times they don't accept pets. If they are accepting pets, they want an extra deposit. I mean, the extra rent. I've seen some houses now that they're actually charging for rent as well for your pets. So if you have a pet, don't be surprised to pay extra for the rent just because you have a pet, especially if you have a bigger dog. So, at the end of the day, I always tell the people, it depends case-by-case scenario. I think it's absurd to say to everyone, it's like, it's better to buy versus rent. That's not the case. There are some people that have been renting in the same house for 10, 15, 20 years, and the homeowners are kind enough to give them a break on the rent. So I've seen some clients that I talked to that they're paying $1,500, $1,600 for a three-bedroom, two-bath home in Ocean Beach or in Lemon Grove and whatnot. And my answer to when they come to talk to me, I say, Joe, what should we do? Should we buy or rent? In that particular situation, if you have a homeowner that's allowing you to use their house for $1,500, $1,600 a month, you're not going to find anything close to that.
Correct.
So you're better off keep on renting and, take advantage of it, save as much money as possible. And then, when it's a good time, they're going to need the property, and then you're going to buy. That's my recommendation that I give to these people. But generally speaking, if you are looking to rent a new property or a single-family residence especially, or buying, depending on a zip code on the area, I will analyze the situation and maybe go with homeownership or just keep on renting.
Correct. And you know what, and Joe, and I want the listeners to know that we're not telling everybody just go buy, because everybody's situation is different. But what we want to say is offer individuals hope and give them the skills and the tools that they need in order to help navigate through this process. Now, Joe, I'm looking at an article, and this is from the Bloomberg, and it says first-time U.S. home buyers account for almost half of the mortgages, and this is dated June 4th, 2018. And one of the things that they indicate, and it says that young Americans are hitting more and more home ownership roadblocks, and part of the roadblocks they don't understand, one of them is the crippling student debt, escalating home prices, surging mortgages rate, and what's in regards to also finding good listings. Now, it says, why have they gone on a buying binge? Now, one of the things it says is first-time home buyers, because a lot of individuals, and I learned about first-time home buyers, which was interesting, but they account for 46% of new mortgages. And another thing is it indicates that the Freddie Mac backed in their first quarter, their biggest quarterly share in data, going back as far as 2012. Now, when we talk about, young individuals, because you got people getting married, they want this American dream. We always talk about the house with the white picket fence and all of that stuff. But a lot of times we don't realize when we're young what we're doing to our credit. Because credit plays a role in that, and also that there are programs to help first-time home buyers. But I'm going to tell you what I learned, Joe. I didn't know that just because I bought in Oceanside, and even though I didn't go through first-time home buyer programs and things of that nature, I didn't know that once you cross over counties, you could be a first-time home buyer in a whole other county in a whole other state. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that? Because I thought the first time I ever bought a house, that's the first time, and that's it.
So first-time home buyers, it's funny because they associate what's called a mortgage, an FHA, with a first-time homebuyer program. FHA, it really doesn't mean first-time homebuyers at all.
Mm-hmm.
All it means is Federal Housing Administration. And people associate that type of program for a first-time homebuyer. All it means is basically FHA loan is backed up by the government, and it gives you an opportunity to purchase a home as your main residence with a 3.5% down payment. That's all it needs. So what it means in FHA, you can purchase it in San Diego County, which, you know, gives you the opportunity to have, you know, if you put numbers to the calculator, let's say you're buying a $500,000 home, right, which is a decent, mm-hmm. pretty better than 2.5 baths, you can actually put down $17,500 and you're going to move in. That's about it. So, which is great. So they're financing 96.5% of the entire property. Now, if you own another property, you cannot take advantage of this one in San Diego County. If for work reasons you have to move somewhere else, like you just mentioned, so you go to another county or you move out of state, then you can reutilize again the FHA program. So it all depends on the situation. It goes by case-by-case scenario. I do not issue loans. I'm not a mortgage professional. I am a real estate
mm-hmm.
professional, but I deal a lot with the FHA programs. I can tell you that the majority of people nowadays, they are taking advantage of this program and another program, which is a conventional loan with a 3% down payment. So there is a myth out there that people think that you need 20% in order to purchase a home. That is not true at all. There's so many programs, like you just mentioned, and if you have great credit and you have a great income, or good income, I should say, don't be afraid to ask. Feel free to ask them to professionals in the business, and we can guide you through a program or another. A 3% down payment conventional, it's a great, great program to go by.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now, you know what? You just indicated something, and you said don't be afraid to ask. Now, a lot of times individuals got, and I know I was one of them, they got caught up in these predator loans. And sometimes individuals don't know how to navigate in regards to finding someone that they feel that they can trust, that's going to be honest with them to help them with these loans. Because I remember when I bought my first home, it was no problem. And I never knew what I was doing, didn't have a whole lot of money saved up. I'm very impulsive. So if I want to do something, I'm just going to do it. I don't like being told no. And if I want it, I want it now. But I remember when I put my second home, and it was 2013 when I saw it. So I moved in around like, no, I moved in almost like 2014 was when I moved in, because it was around Christmas. And when I went to go see the house, the man told me, if you want it, it's yours. And he meant exactly that. If you want it, it's yours. By the time I got finished, I'll never forget my mother told me, she said, baby, she said, you are in so much debt, you can't even afford to get sick. And my mother, she wasn't sick at the time, but she said, I'm afraid to die because I don't know how you're going to handle this. Between the two houses, Joe, and as you know, I was over $1 million in debt, in mortgage debt, and didn't
right.
even know it, wasn't even paying any attention to it. So what... how is it going now with these? And I know you said that you're not a loan officer or a broker, and I was waiting on my childhood friend, Ronald Coffey, to call in because I asked him, where is he? I guess I'm going to share some of his information because I believe that is what he do. But how can individuals know who to trust when it comes to these loans and knowing if this mortgage is too big for you or you got too much going on? Because I didn't know. Now, I've stayed in a house for 10 years, but I was way in over my head.
So here's the thing. Times have changed. It's not like it used to be. They don't just give you a mortgage if you don't qualify or you underqualify, I should say. They're looking at your income for the last 2 years. They're looking at your W-2. So there is no fake paperwork anymore. There is no more statements. There is no more, bank statements only programs. Actually, there are, but it's a little complicated with that. So the thing is, you're safe. As long as you're working with somebody that's got, a good reputation, they're not going to give you a loan for more than you qualify. They are very careful with something that's called the DTI, debt income ratio. The debt income ratio, what's telling you, nowadays you cannot go over 50%. So, rule of thumb, let's say you make $6,000 a month, right? And you have a car payment of, let's say, $500, and then no other debts such as, you know, student loans and stuff like that. So you're pretty much netting $5,500. What they're saying is you can afford no more than $2,750 per month for your living expenses, for your housing expenses, which means property tax included, mortgage, interest, and so on, and insurance. Okay? Mm-hmm. They won't go more than 50%. Therefore, what I always recommend to people when we sit down and we go over what's called a buyer consultation, I always ask, how much do you feel comfortable spending per month? Some people don't like to stretch it at 50%, you know, but that's the max they're going to give you to apply for a loan.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a little easier than it used to be because I know back in 2006, 2005, 2004, they were actually giving 110% financed, and they were doing a lot of adjustable rates, 5 years fixed, 15 years, you know, adjustable. The programs are still alive that there is adjustable rates, but I strongly do not recommend anyone to go for that because there's such a minimal difference between a 30-year fixed and adjustable rate that it doesn't make sense.
Correct. Correct. And you know what? And that is true because, like I said, I wasn't even thinking about all that. All I wanted was the house. And at the time, I was working three jobs, so I was able to afford it. But by that same token, I just didn't realize I was in $1 million worth of debt just for two houses. And then I wound up with another house. So I was like, oh, my God. So trying to pay all these mortgages and being single and running around like a chick with my head cut off was ridiculous. So, you know, then that was how I met you because you kind of helped me get out of one of them homes. And now I keep saying I'm ready to buy another one, but I'm trying to weigh some things out because this was another thing that you brought up in regards to the property taxes. I didn't know when I went from one area to another area how high my property taxes had become. What can you tell the homeowners or people that are interested in obtaining home ownership about property taxes? Because if you've never paid property taxes, you don't know what to expect. Because mine went from $1,500 a year, and I moved right down the street a mile and a half, and it went from $1,500 to like $7,000 a year. What can you share with the listeners in regards to that to help them understand it?
So property tax, I always like to use a rule of thumb, which is consider 1.25% of your purchase price. So if you just buy a home, and let's say you buy a home for $500,000, right? So your property tax is going to be $6,250 a year. Now, if you are taking advantage of an FHA mortgage, it's going to be built in your monthly payment, so you don't have to make any additional payments to pay your property tax. If you already are a homeowner and you're wondering why the property tax goes up, it's because of the assessed value. So, well, they actually assess the value of your property so they can get more money from you. So, you know, at times when we went to the downturn, it was the opposite. You were paying more than the property's worth. And, you know, a lot of homeowners were instructed to send paperwork to the city and, you know, that McAllister as well. So to adjust the property tax based on the recession. So nowadays what's happening, because the property values are up in the skies, you most likely, if you own the property for the last 5-10 years, you're paying less than it's actually worth, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So don't bother. Just pay whatever they're asking you for. If in case we're going to recession, then you might have to adjust that because they have a tendency not to adjust it automatically, only if you ask, if you know what I mean.
Wow. So, and like I said, because I didn't know anything about that, And Lord, when that stuff started hitting me, I was like, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to do all of this. Why I got to pay all this extra money for, you know, property taxes? And all I did was move right down the street. But like I said, when you know better, you do better. And this would help a lot of listeners as they are trying to prepare to get ready for home ownership because, you know, the experience was great, so I don't regret anything that I've done. I know that I need to get ready to buy me another one because I'm about tired of living in my rental property. But then, like I said, the next one was your neighbors. Lord, I did not know. Sometimes I wish you could check out your neighborhood and check out your neighbors before you move into a house because sometimes you might be the ones they don't like over there. Joe, what would you tell the listeners in regards to how can they go about not only, because I know we got to live in the home, but what about the neighborhoods that we decide to move into? How can we get information about that before we purchase a home in particular areas, certain areas?
So, I mean, you know, that's about 27,000 agents here in San Diego County. And, you know, I can't stress enough how easy it is to get a real estate license. It's literally four classes. You know, you just go buy it. 4 or 6 months later, you get a real estate license. And I don't know if you've been looking online, but there's all this new companies popping out like Mushrooms to me. You know, Open Doors, Purple Brick, and this and that, and 1%, and so on. So they're trying somehow to replace the real estate agent with a service kind of like Uber, you know, that doesn't actually own a real estate company, but, you know, you're just using the services of somebody else, of other people's cars, basically. And the same thing they're trying to do with real estate. But there's one thing that I really don't think is going to work is because, take for example, myself and the Dream Homes team, my team. So we've been doing this business for a long time, and we see different areas, you know, throughout San Diego County. I mean, if you ask me about City Heights, I know. You ask about Oceanside, you know, I sold one of your properties, and I know Oceanside really well, and so on. It's important to understand that it's not just about purchasing the four walls. Every time I meet with somebody, I understand and I learn from them about their lifestyle. If you are a metro person and you like to walk with your dog or go to restaurants and so on, I'm not going to put you in Fallbrook because you're going to hate it. It's not about the house you're selling. It's about the lifestyle you're going to conduct once you purchase that home. So when I sit down and we go over our – it's an hour to an hour and a half consultation that we actually do a three-phasing, you know, before we actually show properties, we sit down and we do this consultation. The consultation is so important because you just mentioned some people like a house, but they don't know anything about the neighborhood. So what we do, we pull stats. We look at the crime rates. We look at the school district. What's important to them? Is there a family with young children? Maybe you don't want to move in, you know, in a certain zip code that the school district is ranked 4 out of 10. You know what I'm trying to say? So if your lifestyle is that you like to go to restaurants and such, maybe you want to live in an area where, you know, there is a little more movement. There are restaurants. There is a grocery and shop and so on nearby. So all these key factors and questions that we actually ask, that will help you determine which side of town you want to move to. Because you might live in, let's say, let's take, for example, Oceanside. You mentioned that. Let's say you might live in Oceanside and you're familiar with a certain area by the beach, right? And, you know, it's all hippie and cool and walking distance to the beach, and there's a few new restaurants there, and it's a different vibe. Then all of a sudden you're renting there, you want to buy an Oceanside still, but you don't know the difference from, you know, that side of Oceanside and the 92056, which is by, you know, by Camp Elton and whatnot. It's a totally different lifestyle. You might have a cultural shock. You know, you live there. So it's important to define what the main wish, wants, and must have each home buyer has. Because if you don't really narrow down to that, and then, you know, what's the point of purchasing a home in a neighborhood you're going to hate?
Well, it was interesting because I didn't hate my neighborhood. I love my neighborhood, but my neighbors hated me. That's how my dog wound up poisoned. You know, it was
That's
crazy.
That's nothing you can't
it
do anything about it.
Wow. I was like, Lord, I don't want to be going to jail living over here because they were getting on my nerves. So, now, so that was, like I said, my main things was checking out your neighborhood, making sure you don't get caught up in the predator loans, and also knowing what it takes to obtain a home or home ownership. You spoke a little bit about credit. Now, what if a person is trying to build their credit? What's some advice that you can give an individual in regards to building their credit to help them get ready for this process? Because you talked a little bit about the debt-to-credit ratio.
Right.
But how can they go about building their credit?
So, I mean, first of all, you don't need a A-plus credit in order to qualify for a mortgage. FHA goes as low as 580. All I want to see, really, is that you don't have any negative items on your credit. If your credit is low just because you have, you know, let's say you have several credit cards and they're almost maxed out, that's an easy fix. You know, they can do a credit simulator. You should be keeping the credit cards to 20-30% of what your credit limit is. So if your credit card limit is $1,000, you don't want to go over $250 to $300. That's going to help you boost your score immediately. Then, you know, obviously, if you don't have credit cards, you might want to, unfortunately, have 2 to 3 credit cards. The system in the United States is very complex. There's algorithms, and in order to have a good credit score, FICO score, I should say, you are required to have credit. You must have credit. So you should have at least a car loan, a couple of credit cards, and that's about it, really. I mean, with a 580 to 600, you can get a loan nowadays. A 30-year fix, you're not going to have prime rates, but at least it gets you into a home, and then it's going to boost the credit within 3 to 6 months if you pay your mortgage payments, and then you can refinance if, the interest rates permit.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And I know we are 27 minutes within the show that we have left. If you want to call in and you want to speak to myself or you want to speak to Joe, give us a call at 516-387-1914. Again, 516-387-1914. And, Joe, I want to thank you for even taking the time out of your busy day to come on the air to talk about this because, like I said, a lot of individuals, we lack knowledge in a lot of different areas, especially when it comes to financial stability, our credit, obtaining wealth, our future. We are so confused, so lost because we do things the way we saw things done ahead of us by our parents. And we saw them work hard, and I got to save for this. And then by the time they got ready to save, I thought they saved enough money. Then they would get discouraged and frustrated. And then it was very intimidating for us. Now, I can truly say that my mom purchased her first home in 1968, and I still have that house. But one of the things she did was she borrowed on it. So when she died, she left me a mortgage. So that kind of sucked. But I got to deal with that one, too. But she didn't really know what she was doing either. And a lot of times, and like I said, I'm going to say it again, when we know better, we do better. You spoke a little bit about refinancing, and not only just refinancing, but financing. Now, how does one, what have the laws changed or have things changed, Joe, in regards to refinancing?
As far as, I mean, refinancing, it's as long as you have your property for at least 6 months of seasoning, you can just refinance without a problem. Refinancing, it could be for different reasons. If you want to cash out, if you wanted to just get a better rate. But, you know, along the line, it's pretty easy to refinance. Actually, easier to refinance that purchasing at this point.
Mm-hmm. Now, Joe. Now, you know people have been getting in trouble with these hard lender loans, especially because a lot of individuals still wasn't even qualifying for refinancing because some may not have credit or, you know, their parents could have passed away and the home is paid off. They don't have the credit, but they want to try to get some equity out of the home. Can you tell the listeners about the hard lender loans or what's going on in regards to that? I mean, we don't want to mess up nobody's income that is in this field, but just to educate individuals a little bit about it so they'll be prepared.
So, Look, Harmony lenders are great if you're smart using them. You have to learn how to leverage things. I recently got a loan with a Harmony lender because I purchased an investment property, and it was cash only. I didn't have the cash required to close, for the full amount. So I utilized the Harmony lender guys. Is it cheap? No. But if it makes sense to you financially because you're making an investment in buying a property that's 30-40% below market value, which things still exist here, then, I would say yes, give it a go. Go for it. Now, if you inherited the property and you wanted to refinance to pull out some cash, I would not recommend use a hard money lender because the fees are very high. Generally speaking, they're 11-12% interest rate and interest only. And then you might have a balloon payment due within 12 months. And then they charge you 3-4-6 points, depending on the situation, up front. So what does it mean, points? If you're trying to get $100,000, you're probably required to give them $4,000 up front as a closing cost, and then you'll be paying 11% interest only for the $100,000 until you repay that loan. So if there's some listeners out here and they inherited the property and they want to get a little more information, they can feel free to reach me directly. I can, I don't do loans. I can definitely direct you to different ways. But, I wouldn't utilize a hard money lender to refinance the property that you inherited. I would definitely go in a conventional way. And all they're looking at that you have an income. If you have an income, then you can qualify to get some money out.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of individuals get caught up in that and they wind up losing their parents' property because they have jumped into those loans by being desperate, or they would mismanage the money by trying to go on cruises or buy these luxury cars, and now by the time they look up, they've lost everything. When I say everything, I mean everything. Now, Ronald Coffee has not called me, but I went onto his Facebook page, and he works at Atlas Capital Group, and it says consumer purpose owner occupied, offering financial solutions for your bank turndowns. Now, I'm just reading from something that he has posted, and it says that they basically offer financial solutions for your bank turndowns, and they have up to 80% purchase, 75% refinance with a FICO score of 600 plus. Up to 75% purchase, 70% refinance with a 550 to 600 FICO score. They have a risk-adjusted pricing down to sub-500 FICO, up to 55% OTI with compensating factors. They have loans ranging from $50,000 to $300,000, and no repay or no prepay options available. 7-1 interim fix or 30-year fixed term. So if you want to contact him, the number where he indicated he could be reached is 818-877-4641, or you can email him at rcoffey@athascapital.com. So I indicated I will put his information out there. I don't know. He probably got sidetracked today. So he is more in the lending and the financing, and that's basically what he does. And I know he's been doing it, I believe, over 20-something years now. So, and it looks like they have a lot of different information. It says bridging the gap to hard money. Rebate financing is also available. So, Joe, let's continue on with the show. Now, you already told the listeners that you are in the San Diego County area, and, I noticed that a lot of individuals have been they're leaving the area, and some of them have been going towards the Riverside County area. What is the big buzz of Riverside County? What is going on up there? Because they indicate that they have a shortage of homes, but for some reason their homes are priced like $200 to $300 cheaper than what it is out in San Diego County. And that's my concern, because I do want to buy in Menifee, but I'm like, okay, why are these homes cheaper? They're bigger homes, lower in numbers, What do you think the buzz is with all of that, with individuals moving to Riverside County?
So the answer is space. There's way more space to build. I don't know if you've been up there recently, especially let's take in consideration the whole, Temecula, then Menifee, Hemet. Hemet,
mm-hmm.
2 years ago, was terrible. I mean, the crime rate was really high. I still think it is a little
mm-hmm.
higher than San Diego. But if you look at the quality of the homes that have been built in there and the price per square foot, it's a no-brainer. If you work in our county and you're okay doing a little, in our county, San Diego, you're okay doing a little bit of travel back and forth from work, then that's the answer. With $300,000, you buy a brand new home. It's beautiful. It's all redone, with a nice size lot. And Hemet now has got an all brand new shopping center, malls, and so on. So why not? I mean, the answer is space. We're so limited
mm-hmm.
in space in San Diego that if you go towards the coast, you got to deal with Coast Commission, and there is no space. Then in the inland, it's been pretty much all taking over. There's no more space building anymore. And the last lots, they were building down south. I don't know if you've been down south in Chula Vista area, Otay Mesa. They built in Sinaloa in the last 3 to 4 years is so many new developments. Carmel Valley area, same thing. Towards Rancho Santa Fe, which was the last unknown land there. There was several lots purchased back in the recession, and now they're pretty much all taken up. They've been building. KB Homes is up there. There's several buildings, builders taking advantage of the situation, because the price per square foot is really high. I mean,
correct. And I know that the homes have actually been going up in prices, but I'm like, ooh, I'm so tired of driving. It's commute. I got to slow down a little bit because it don't make no sense to have this big old beautiful home and I'm hardly ever there. But I know. I just wanted to know in regards to that because I know a lot of individuals are relocating to the Riverside County area, and you pretty much hit it on the head in regards to space. You're getting a 10,000 square foot lot, versus a 5,000 or 4,000. The home, the mortgage is cheaper. But I was like, okay, something got to be going on because I don't understand this. This just makes no sense. Now, I want to share with the listeners, and it talks about measuring the benefits of home ownership. Like I said, everybody may not be ready to buy a home, but all I want to say is just think about it. Weigh your options. Find out if it will work for you. If it don't work for you, it don't work for you. If you don't want to purchase a home, you don't have to. But by that same token, don't be afraid or intimidated. Now, measuring the benefits of home ownership. And one of the things we talk about is, like I said, we looked at it as being an American dream, but like I said, sometimes it can be a nightmare too. But the bottom line is, when we're looking at how do we make that to measure the difference in regards to the benefits, one of the things they talked about, Joe, is attractive long-term investment. Many of us look at home ownership as an investment because buying a home is one of the biggest long-term investments you ever make. And according to the Federal Housing Finance Agency, they indicate that home prices in the U.S. rose on an average of 34.71% over the 5 year ending in December the 31st, 2017. And on average, homeowners saw the value of their real estate investment grow by 6.94% per year during that period. Now, that's not a bad return on an investment, but it also provides you with a place to live. I know when I was married with my last husband, he was saying he wanted to have a lot of properties. But what he failed to realize is, hey, we had four. But trying to keep up with them four was a headache because a lot of times, like I said, sometimes individuals can get in over their head, but it is actually a good long-term investment. What would you say in regards to that, Joe, of it being an investment?
So, I see homeownership being invested. So you're investing in your family. So this is what I always tell people. So if you're purchasing a home for you and your family, so you're investing on yourself and your family, it doesn't matter what happens to the market. It goes up, goes
mm-hmm.
down, the interest rates change. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because you do need a roof over your head. All I know this is this. I've done my own statistics because, you know, I being Italian, I don't trust everybody. So I have to pull my own numbers. And I realized this. Every single homeowner that I've known, that I sold them a property, that I analyzed their situation, that owned the property and kept it for a minimum of 7 years, always win. They always win. No matter what the market does, it goes up, goes down, you bought a peak of the market, you bought the bottom, it doesn't matter. You just got to own for 7 years, don't touch, don't refinance it, don't do anything, just pay your mortgage on a monthly basis, and you always, always win. And I'll tell you why. So let's say you buy a home today for $500,000, which let's say we are at the peak of the market, which I don't think we're at the real peak of the market, but we're very close to it, okay? So let's say you buy that. I'm
okay.
Putting some numbers so I can give you real numbers here. So you pay $500,000. Let's say you buy it with a 3% down, okay? So you put $15,000, so you're financing $485,000. All right?
Okay.
We get in there. 3%, 30 years, percent. So your mortgage payments, it's about $2,603, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree that if you want to rent right now a three-bedroom, two-bath, you probably are $2,500 a month?
Pretty much, because probably more
okay.
than that. Because I know the home that I have now, if I rented my home on it, when I did, I was able to rent it out at $2,100? For a four-bedroom, two-bath. So
yeah.
You're right. You will make money off of that. And we're going to go into some more details in regards to that, too. But you're right. That's a good number.
So let's say you pay $2,603, and then you're going to add your taxes, right, which is 1.25%, we said, because we're going to do a rule of thumb at $6,250 divided by 12. That's $520, okay? So only taxes is $520 plus $2,603, you're about
$3,123. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
So you are $3,123 a month, which is higher than renting. It is. It is because you actually now have to pay for property tax and so on. Now, if you look at what's called an amortization schedule, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you close in July. And let's say in 2025, in July, we want to sell this property. In 2025, at that point, because you did not refinance, you did not do anything, you just stay put, you're going to be owing $425,000, okay? So the property you bought for $500, now you only have a mortgage of $425,000. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now you put aside $75,000 for 7 years. I mean, within 7 years. If you do the calculation divided by seven, you actually put on aside $10,700 per year. Now, you tell me if you're able to save $10,700 renting your house and stretching with your bills on a monthly basis? The answer is no. Because everything that you're actually paying for the rent, it's going for the rent. There is no tax benefits. You're not building wealth. You're not doing anything with your money. You're basically just helping an investor, you know, to pay off his debts, his mortgage. So I know it could be a stretch, because we're talking about $2,350 to $2,400 in rent versus $3,123. There is a difference of $700 a month more that you're going to be spending if we include property tax and insurance. But now, there's one thing that people do not put this in consideration. Every time you have a mortgage, you're paying for the property tax, you pay for interest. Now, these are items are tax deductible.
Correct, which is what's going to be my next subject I was going to go to was a tax deduction. So let our listeners know, what does that mean in regards to tax deductions?
So for the first 7 years, you're going to be averaging paying about, says 75, 80% all the way to 70%, okay, of interest, which is absurd when we put it like that. You pay an 80% interest, 20% principal for the first few years. And it goes down to 70%, then 60, 50, and then you pay more principal, less interest. Now, I know it's brutal, but when you put it on paper or you actually sit down with a CPA, it's going to give you props for that, because now, you know, you can pencil that in as an expense, and it's tax deductible. So you're paying on interest is tax deductible. Your taxes you pay on your property is going to be tax deductible. So when you really narrow down and you have a family of three or four, husband and wife with two kids, they're going to really take advantage of this, because at the end of the year, you most likely, and I'm not a CPA, but I've seen, you know, results from some of my clients, they're able to get $6,000 to $7,000 extra in tax benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So when you really, really do the calculation on a $500,000, you cut down another, you know, the $700 difference, it's really truly a $200 difference at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, if you purchase a home for $500K and you put 3% down as a conventional loan versus renting a three-bedroom, two-bath for $2,500, you will be ending up paying $200 more per month in order to gain about $75,000 in equity within 7 years. Now, it's up to them what to do.
Right. And you know what? And a lot of the time, too, is you can't force anyone to do anything. You have to make them think. Because one of the things is, even talking about, and I like how you talked about the tax benefits, and it also changes your filing status, too, where you can go from short form in regards to long form, because you get to be able to itemize certain things too. So that's another thing that happens in addition to the tax deduction. And the laws changes all the time from year to year. And there's a forced saving, because as you put down your mortgage, it reduces the amount you owe. Without realizing it, you are saving. Because as the value of your home is increasing, just like the value of your savings account increases with interest, when you sell, you will likely get back every dollar you paid out and more, assuming you stay in the house long enough, which is one of the things you shared. Now, we know that there is what's called a potential depreciation, because not all homes will grow in value, because we had that housing crisis. Because I know with me, I was in an upside-down mortgage, so I kind of learned that I was, you know, in water. Now, another thing is taking pride in ownership. One often cited benefit of home ownership is the knowledge that you own a little corner of the world, and you can customize your house, remodel, you can paint, you can decorate without getting permission from your landlord. But I also want to say that one of the things we did not go into is some individuals do have what's called homeowners associations, and some individuals have Mellor rules, and I know that that is big in Riverside County too. Now, there is a financial responsibility, meaning ownership comes with responsibilities, and you must pay your mortgage or risk losing your home and the equity that you built. Maintenance and upkeep are your responsibility. Now, you can't call a landlord. You can't, you know, like me, I got to get off the phone. Once we get off the air, I got to call someone to come and replace my hot water heater, so it ain't like I can call the janitor to come do it. I got to do it myself. But the bottom line is there are benefits, and the benefits also comes with risk. But the trick is to weigh one against the other, and it's important not to let emotions be more of a deciding factor than the rational comparison of the pros and cons, which is why we're doing this show. Now, so I'm going to take, and I'm looking, because we haven't had any callers call in, but I'm looking at some text messages and emails that I'm receiving. And one of them says, do you know of any good loan officers or where I can go get financing? Is there anyone you could recommend, Joe, or put a number out there for the listeners that if they want to find out, say, pre-qualify, someone that they can contact with or get in contact with?
Absolutely. There is a company that we've been working with for the past 3 to 5 years, and the company is Cross Country Mortgage. It's an amazing, they're direct lenders. The loan officer that I work with is Ryan Shamam. Very easy to work with. Could do an application over the phone. Could do application online. You can gather the documents afterwards. It works around the clock. And his phone number is 619-261-0404. And this guy is 619-261-0404. His name is Ryan Shamam. And hands down, the best loan officer that I've worked with in the past, 10 to 12 years. And again, it's around the clock. Call him, very responsive. He does a lot of, work. He has 3 to 4 people working in his team. And I trust him 100%. He's done all my loans. And he works with, all type of credits. He knows how to navigate the different programs. Let's put it like that.
Okay. Hey, I might need to give him a call myself because I need to, like I said, figure something out. Okay, I got another email that I'm looking at, and it says, most individuals want to give you a 30-year loan, and I'm already 60 years old. I don't want to be paying on no house when I'm 90. So what can I do? What advice would you give this person? Age 60. Seems like age is also playing a factor.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't – so this is the thing. I wouldn't see it necessarily to pay off the loan. So if it all depends on how much a person can afford on a monthly basis. There is a big difference in payments between a 30-year fixed and I would do – if you do a 10-year versus, a 30 years, we're talking about almost double, actually a little more than double the monthly payment. So you can pay it off within 10 years, which is actually the best way to go because your interest in principal is already, you end up, after 2 to 3 years, you're already paying less interest than principal versus a 30-year amortized loan, which it takes about 10 to 12 years before you're actually even paying interest versus principal. So the answer is, don't look at it to pay it off, within the 30 years. Just look at it in the way, what can you afford now? A 30-year fixed loan nowadays is easy affordable. So it's the same monthly payment for the next 30 years. Are you going to ever pay off this mortgage? I mean, maybe. I personally, when I make my investments or buy my homes, I don't look at it such as a fact of, oh, yeah, I'm going to be here for the next 30 years. I'm going to pay off this mortgage. I don't think I can look at that long of a distance. But and honestly, mm-hmm. I cannot afford to do a 10-year loan. I cannot do a 10-year loan because it is high. I mean, we're talking about on a $500,000, same scenario we did earlier, the $2,600 a month on a 30-year fixed, on a 10-year fixed, is $5,144 a month. So
and it's interesting because a lot of times individuals, especially within our culture, and I want to say within the African-American culture, we couldn't wait to get our houses paid off, not realizing that you really don't want to pay your house off. You want to keep a mortgage on your house because once you pay it off, you kind of don't really get a lot of the benefits of your home once it's paid off. Because then if people die and they will it to someone, then you got capital gains taxes, you got all this other stuff. And a lot of times, it's about educating. We need to educate individuals when it comes to stuff like this because we don't know any better.
Right. No, I agree with you. I mean, I feel like this. Why have money in the bank when you can have other people's money, in this case a mortgage, work for you? I mean, what's the point? I mean, the interest, we're not paying 15, 20% interest on a mortgage. It's a 5% interest. Why would you have a house paid off? It just doesn't make sense, and you don't even take advantage of the – I mean, I work sometimes with multimillionaires, and they buy $4, $5 million, $3 million homes. They might buy cash – but then they're going to refinance it, put a mortgage on it for a couple million dollars so they can take advantage of and the benefits of the payments and such. Do they need the money? No. They have plenty of money in their banks too, but they'd rather have a mortgage.
Well, Well, Joe, we're going to wind up the show. We only have 19 minutes left on the show. I want to thank you. Where can they find you if they wanted to call you directly to get more information or utilize you in regards to purchasing a home?
So you can reach me out of my direct line, 760-201-9252. That's my direct line, 760-201-9252. Or you can just look me up on Facebook or YouTube. You know, I'm very active on social media, as you know. You know, my Facebook is Joe Sells San Diego. Joe Corbisiero is my name. Pretty easy. I have a very, very unique last name, so you can find me everywhere, Yelp, Google, whatever you prefer, Zillow.
I'm just still mad because you got rid of the Jaguar and you didn't, you know, let me know ahead of time. So until then, I look forward to hearing from you next week, and I look forward to also hearing, listening, or having you join me tomorrow as we are going to be following up from last week's topic as we were talking about equally yoked, unequally yoked. So today, next week, and tomorrow, we're going to be having some interesting shows. Until then, thank you for joining me at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Talk to you later, Joe. Bye-bye.
Bye, thank you.
You're welcome.